Update. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalue.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So, here are the positives that have come out of lockdown over the summer. Well, the summer was when kids were more active outdoors. They were playing old-fashioned games and sports on the streets and in the park, swimming in the sea, swinging from the trees, you know, with their usual cinema and fast food retreats not available to them. Now children are back in school, so we thought it was really important to talk about why so-called physical literacy is so important and the unexpected positives of a child who can tumble, who can jump. Now, Aina Casey is a school teacher from Mayo and is very passionate about this topic and joins me on the line now. Aina, how are you?
Hi, Jennifer. How are you? How's things?
It's good. It's great to have you on and talking about physical literacy, a term I have never heard before. So can you explain it?
Yeah, so it's a tricky one. When I originally heard it, I thought it was like some way that they were coupling literacy with physical activity, but that's not the case at all. It's basically a child's vocabulary of movement. So like how well they can move in a number of different ways in a number of different environments. So as humans, we're animals that are meant to move, you know. And so in a nutshell, how confident the child is with moving, what their movement competence is like and what their motivation is to move. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay, so you're talking about fundamental movement. So what are they? We're talking about jumping, tumbling, that kind of thing?
Well, there's 15 fundamental movement skills for an Irish setting, yeah. So we're going right back to walking even. Walking, running, sidestepping. You have your stability skills like landing and balancing. And that probably would be where tumbling would come in. Dodging is a really important one, just for like for everyday life, not just for sport. In fact, people tend to go straight to sport.
Yeah.
It's not sport. Like if they're able to move correctly, they're actually a better citizen, if you can kind of stretch it that far.
Would you be worried, because you're a school teacher, would you be worried that some kids don't have the necessary physical literacy?
I don't know if I want to say worried. It's kind of a societal thing, really. There's a study done out of DCU last year by a man called Dr. Stephen Behan. The project was called Moving Well, Being Well. And basically his findings were that Irish 9-year-olds aren't getting the requisite time to move. They're not getting enough exercise as per the World Health Organization. So if they're not getting enough opportunities, there's going to be a deficit there, you know.
Of course. And what is that? What should they be getting?
They need to get an hour of moderate to vigorous exercise every day. One hour at least.
Okay.
That's the baseline. So if they're getting below that, they're in bother. But they can get anything from 1 hour to 3 hours per day. That's kind of normal range, you know.
I don't know if I know many kids that are getting 3 hours of exercise a day. It's funny when you put it like that. Now, I mentioned in my introduction that there are unexpected positives for a child who can tumble or jump, but why is it so important that children today are as agile as possible?
It's a really interesting question. And if we think about it, like a child, first of all, that is able to engage in all the fundamental movement skills, it benefits them cognitively, it benefits them socially every which way. But if you take it right down to the base level, a child who can dodge, who can jump, they're going to be able to better avoid an accident if that situation ever arises. So jumping out of the way of a moving object or protecting themselves from an oncoming object. It's like if you learn the letter A. Everyone knows the letter A song because they learned it in school because it was taught to them. But we can't take for granted anymore that these children are learning the movement vocabulary. So if they're not able to dodge, they may not know what to do with themselves if they find themselves in that kind of situation.
It's a really good point.
A really good point.
I'm sure there's parents listening go, oh, but they do PE. I'm sure isn't that enough?
Yeah, I'd love to say that it was. I mean, it is. Like, lately, in the last 3 years, there's been a change to the way we teach PE in Ireland. But at the end of the day, it's now based on the fundamental movement skills. But at the end of the day, they only get an hour of PE per week. And I'm not sure what you can improve, really, in an hour.
So it's down to the parents, really?
Well, it's down to what the child does.
Yeah.
Like the environment that the child is in most of the time. And if that's an active environment, you're on a winner straight away. And that's kind of hopefully where I come in. Because this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to give the parents, because at the end of the day, the children spend most time with parents and caregivers. I'm going to give them tips, hacks, to try and put these kind of building blocks for movement in place. so that today's children aren't missing out.
And what are some of those tips for any parents who are listening, say, oh, you know, my child just wants to play computer games all day. I don't know, you know, how to get them out. What are, I mean, should we just let them climb trees and do all that dangerous stuff that we fear that they're going to fall out of that
Definitely.
Tree and break their heads? Yeah, we should. I mean, I let my kids climb trees all the time.
They're avid
climbers. But it's so important to do that and just spot them. We always spot them. We just stand underneath them in case they're going to fall.
Yeah.
But is there any other tips?
Yeah, so you're lucky enough that you have the environment that your children are able to experience that, but not everybody does.
That's true.
And especially if bad news comes with coronavirus and other lockdown looms, they're kind of tied to their own environment. So if we're thinking about the fundamental movement skills, what I try to do is, right, I take, just say, the skill of balance, and I try to make an activity out of that, a tiered activity, that's as fun as possible for the child, where the child will acquire as much of the movement as they can. So they won't engage in if it's not fun. Children aren't mini adults, so we can't send them to a circuit class and expect them to enjoy it. So it must be fun. So it must be through the medium of play, you know. So what I try and do is provide activities at the child's age and stage appropriate level where they're, unbeknownst to themselves, acquiring that building blocks for movement. So if it was a balance task, it'd be very much focused on balance. If it was a running task, it'd be very much running focused, but through play all the time.
Good tips, really good tips.
Yeah.
Now, Aine, you also work with children on the autism spectrum with dyspraxia. And again, movement has some unintended benefits for these children when it comes to their social skills and confidence. Isn't that right?
Yeah, very much so. Children who would have notional special needs, just say, for example, autistic spectrum disorder or dyspraxia, these are the children most at risk when it comes to socialisation. If you think about how children generally socialise outside of school, it's a lot of time through sport. And unfortunately, these children have roadblocks in the way because they're not able to engage, in a lot of cases, in sport. So it's absolutely essential that these children have these building blocks. Again, I go back to it again. I know I'm kind of repeating myself a little bit, but to have the building blocks for movement to become a better citizen.
Yeah.
Like, for example, in my school here, we have an autistic unit, and there are a number of children with various issues. But one of them might be that if a child is looking up in the air, for example, if they're not looking where they're going, they're going to run into stuff. So what we try to do with one little boy is focus on the fundamental movement skill of walking. Get him to learn, right, if I look in a straight line, this is where I'm going. But what the games that we taught him, he ended up playing the games with his peers and they loved it. So he assumed a role of leadership amongst his peers. So obviously the knock-on effects socially for that little boy are profound, really, really profound. Mm. And so, yeah, it's a natural way for children to learn, to socialise, to interact with each other through play.
It's funny that you talk, because we're so focused on, you know, schoolwork and reading and learning and how important that is in exams. Physical literacy kind of takes a backseat a lot of the time. Would I be right in saying you saw a lot of positives of the lockdown in, you know, a lot of children, but you noticed a lot of kids that put on weight during the lockdown, hadn't they?
Yeah, unfortunately that is the case, yeah. And like I say, I mentioned to you a little while ago, it's about the environment that they're in. It can happen that we find ourselves complaining, oh, children, they're not as fit as they used to be.
Yeah.
But it's really down to the environment that they're in. Children, for the most part, don't really choose where they grow up or what environment they grow up or what they have to play with and all of that. There's a man, actually, that he's kind of the godfather of all of this movement, if you'll excuse the pun, the physical literacy movement. He's a man called Dr. Dean Creelers. So he works in the University of Manitoba in Canada. And he says that, and I would 100% agree with him, that physical literacy is as important, if not more important, than literacy in maths, because it impacts their health. If they're unhealthy, it doesn't matter how literary they are or how good at maths they are. If they're unhealthy and there's a lifetime of health problems waiting for them, I'm not sure what the academic subjects, how they're going to stand them in good stead in the long term.
Good point. And physical literacy can literally change their life and save their life.
100%.
It's so important. And I thank you for bringing it to the forefront and talking about it with us today, because it's something that I'm just still stuck on the 1 to 3 hours of vigorous exercise every day. It sounds like a lot. Would you be doing that with a 2-year-old?
Well, you see, if you think about how a 2-year-old interacts in their own little environment, they're pretty much exercising all the time.
Oh, bouncing off the walls,
they
are.
Pulling themselves up and playing. So that's kind of exercise in and of itself. When we think of exercise, we think of, okay, let's go for a run. It doesn't have to be a 3-hour a runner, like a marathon. It's playing, interacting in their own environment, but involving some form of movement.
It's so important.
It'll be important to bear that in mind. Yeah, it's so, so important.
Oh, yeah. Listen, if you don't get away with anything in my house, my husband has them climbing ropes and she's only five, like at 7 a.m. in the morning. They're really active. But listen, thank you so much. It's a really interesting conversation. Aina, thanks for taking the call. That is Aina Casey, who's a school teacher from Mayo, and trying to get the word out just about the importance of movement and being physical for a developing child. So what did you think of that chat? Have you noticed your kids being less physical or agile than you were as a kid? Are you concerned that they don't have the freedom that we had? Get in touch, 51552. We'll be back after this. Now, I'm off to practice my headstand and my forward tumbles. It's never too late.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.